Good morning. Thank you, Vanna White, folks. All right. How are you guys doing this morning? How are you doing this morning? We just got through with Christmas. It's a tiring time, but you know what? It's all about the birth of Jesus. So if nothing else, be happy for that today. This is going to be a little different for me. I'm not actually going to do much preaching, but I want to do some talking to you, to me. This sermon really opened my eyes a little bit to some things that I say I believe, but yet it's really hard to put into practice. When I step outside myself and I look at it, I have problems. And so it was good for me to do this. I hope you get something out of this. And if not, it's pastor's fault because he's a pastor. So let me ask a question. Do you think that overall the churches in the United States, I'm going to single us out here, the churches in the United States, do we still believe in miracles? Okay, I'm not talking about personally. I'm talking about the church corporately, the churches. Do we believe in miracles? Okay, not just believe in miracles. Do we expect miracles in the churches in America today? I'm not just talking little things that happen. I'm talking the ground shaking, life changing. The only way it could have happened is if the Creator God stepped in and did something. There is absolutely no other explanation. Does the church believe this today? Well, you know what? And unfortunately, it's probably a very small segment. We talk about miracles. We talk about wanting miracles. But do we expect it to actually happen? How about this? And this is where I got hung up. Do you personally believe in miracles? Or do you sit there and in your prayers when you're praying for a miracle, in the back of your head is this nagging thing going, this ain't going to work. I better start making other plans because I just don't know. Do we expect it? So, do we reach out to Jesus like the woman reached out to Jesus because of her issue of blood? Expecting it, knowing if I could just get to that Him, this is done. I'm just moving on because I already know this is done. Do we believe that? Or do we just talk about it? What about this? If I tell you today that the Crossing, the congregation that is meeting here, that this congregation is a miracle. I mean, some of you know some of the things we've been through, but you don't know the things this congregation has been through. And when I talk about congregation, I'm going all the way back to the first people that met here. Did some research on this area. Now, not this building, although you may think by looking at the building next door sometimes. There has been a continually meeting congregation here since 1816. Do you know Springfield wasn't even incorporated as a city until 1819? 3 years before Springfield was founded, there was a congregation that met here. Some of you may, I don't know if anybody's ever met her. If we were ever too loud here about 5 years ago, you would heard Mrs. Appleby, God bless her. She lives right over here, lived right over here. She's passed. She used to be a member of the church here when it was Bellevue. Her family is one of the original settlers in this area. If you go over to the cemetery across the street, you'll see Appleby all over that cemetery. And you'll see some really old gravestones with her name on it, with their family name on it. See, there was a traveling preacher way back then that would come around, and there were only a few farms in this area. And he would come by, I don't know, however they come by, once a month. And he's traveling on horse through a very uninhabitable place for the most part. And so maybe once a month, and the congregation would get together and they would meet. And it has been happening since 1816 here. 203 years of faithfulness has been meeting here. It blows me away. See, the settlers that farmed here, they didn't have neighbors like we have neighbors. Their neighbors were the Kickapoo tribe, the Delaware tribe, and the Osage tribe. That was when the Indians were the most populous people in this group, in this area. Remember, there was no Springfield. That blows my mind that this pastor would ride a horse all over this southern part of Missouri and preach to different little groups of people. And they've done that continually. People have met here since then. 203 years old. Think about it. I'm going to go through some things. 40 years before this church started meeting, the Declaration of Independence was signed. 40 years! It's amazing. Okay, James Monroe was the president. How many of you even knew James Monroe was the president? All right, Mike, overachiever. And Sandra, yeah, we got too many overachievers here. You know what? It was 3 years after the first meeting that Spain gave Florida to the U.S. Well, sold it. Spain still owned Florida. Now, if you're from my family, they've been there since Spain owned Florida, and we could prove it. But they were meeting here before Florida belonged to the U.S. See, the Missouri Compromise was in 1820. This was before that. That was when Missouri was admitted into the state, or into the United States as a state, and they divided the state in half. The northern part of Missouri was free land, and the southern part of Missouri was slave land. And they had to do that because another northeastern state was coming in as a free country, a free land, so they had to even it out, and that was the compromise, was the Missouri Compromise. I didn't know that. But this was here before that. In 1823, the Articles of Confederation were finally signed. That was the first version of our Constitution. And this congregation was meeting here before that. The Battle of the Alamo wasn't until 1836. And they were meeting here before that. You know, the Trail of Tears, when they relocated all the Indians, came straight through here. You can follow the signs downtown. But there was a congregation before that. In 1848, it wasn't until then that Mexico sold California, Nevada, Utah, most of New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, and Wyoming to the U.S. $15 million. All that property did not belong to us. So get rid of Florida and get rid of all the Western states. And there was a congregation meeting here. 1860, Abraham Lincoln was elected president. That wasn't until 44 years later, that Abraham Lincoln became president. 1861, the next year, the Confederate States of America are formed. And Missouri just split. From 1861 to 65 was the Civil War. This area was ground zero for a lot of stuff. But yet the congregation continued to meet. Just blows. I mean, I could go on. The Central Pacific and Union Pacific Railroads hadn't even connected yet. I mean, why would they? We didn't own the West part. When I think of George Custer and the Battle of the Little Bighorn, I think of, like, that was a long time ago, right? Well, that wasn't until like 60 years later. 60 years later, before Custer's Battle of the Bighorn, they were meeting. 1886, Statue of Liberty is dedicated. 1898, Hawaii is annexed. 1903, the Wright brothers flew a plane for the first time. Just think of those settlers had seen that plane. I don't even want to think about it. They'd have probably got out their guns and shot it down. 1906, the earthquake hit San Francisco. They were meeting here before all this stuff happened. 1914, World War I enters the picture. And the congregation remained faithful. See, now they're meeting. For the last 10 or 12 of these, they've been meeting regularly every week now. They have their own church. 1915. Do you know it wasn't until 1915 that the first long-distance call went from New York to California, to San Francisco? That would have been wizardry to these people. That would have been sorcery to the people that lived out here. 1929, the stock market crashed. 1941, the U.S. enters World War II. All these things happened, right? And now we're moving up into kind of our time frame. This congregation, yeah, Jordan points to me as my time frame, not his yet. This congregation has been meeting here through all of that. That's a miracle. See, we look in town and we see churches like First Baptist and all these churches, we think those are the original churches of Springfield. But we were original before Springfield was even Springfield. Think about that. See, I could go on and on and on of everything that this church and the members of this congregation, and see, I call it the congregation because along the way there's been different. It was started by a Methodist traveling preacher. It was a Presbyterian congregation for a little while. It was whoever would come in and preach is what they were. I believe it was 1986 is when it became pretty much what we know today. In 1950, this building was built. But they've been meeting. This is a miracle church. For 203 years, the members of this church have witnessed God at work. God at work for 203 years in one spot. And I believe He's still at work today. See, the church here has gone by different names. People have come and gone. But the people have defined the legacy of this church. People that would not quit, that would not give up, that would not change just because things around them changed. They were dedicated to this congregation. Our family has been going to this church, to this building, since 1996. All right? That's a long time. It's 23 years, almost 24 years now. You know what? This church was still here 180 years before we started. We ain't been here that long. For 180 years before us, it was still going. See, people think, I am so important. If I leave, something's going to happen. Yeah. No, because 200 years before that, they were doing this. It's not about us. In Deuteronomy, Moses is encouraging the people. They're getting ready to go in and take the land that God has promised them. He reminds them to keep their eyes and their hearts on God, and He reminds them of the things that they've gone through, the things that have brought them up to the point of where they are right now. Big, big, long, and drawn-out sermon that He does. And in verse 9, He gives them this charge. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 9 in Deuteronomy. It says, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to your children after them." And that's what I want to do to you today. This church has seen a lot in 203 years. It's seen civil war, brothers fighting brothers, fathers fighting sons. It's watched their kids go off to die in foreign countries. It got news of General Custard's getting whipped up in wherever it was. All of this stuff has happened and this church stayed together. They've been through it all. I don't know if you've noticed about our culture. We're always looking for the next big thing, the next better thing, the shinier thing, the thing that catches our eye. And through all that, this church has remained steady. Just going. See, God wanted these people to move forward, right? He wanted the nation of Israel to move forward and possess that which He promised them. But He also wanted them to remember what has happened in the past. Because the past gives us reason to have faith in the future. if I can look back and say, man, these people did this for 203 years. This area used to be a stopping point midway between the farms that were farther out and Springfield. This used to be the community of Bellevue, the township of Bellevue. And they had a big field set apart when you brought your horse and buggy in to go resupply when Springfield actually became a city. You would stop here on your way back because it was too dark to ride home at night. There's a lot of history in this area. Now let's talk about us. See, April and I have been here 24 years. In 24 years, we've seen a whole lot of good stuff and bad stuff. A lot of people that were here then, I mean, no one's here from then. We're it. People have moved on or quit. But see, in that 24 years, we've seen attendance in this building over 300 regularly. We had so many teens downstairs in the teen room, they had to get rid of all of the furniture, and everyone sat on the ground, and that left you about 2 foot for whoever was speaking to stand there against the wall and speak. Kids sitting in windowsills. And it was filled corner to corner with teenagers. Dee's son was one of those. If you ever have heard of Hamar Hand, the dancing cop from Central High School, he was one of the teenagers in that class, and that kid was bad. And so Mike was right there with him. We used to chase kids off of the roof, run them off from the propane tanks because they were smoking at the propane tanks. Yeah, I didn't say they were the brightest kids, but they were here. And this church was running 300 regularly. And then I've seen this church when it was running 15 to 20. One thing consistent, though, God has always been at work in and through the people in this church. Always. Sad when you watch a church go from 300 to 15. But when I look back and when I'm studying on this, I'm like, you know what? God was still here. The mission never changed. It just blew my mind. You know, within 5 years of the church running 300, it was running 50. And then over the next couple years, it just dwindled down. The reason the church grew then was because there was an excited group of kids from BBC came to this church. About 20 students decided that this was going to be their home while they were here. And they blew this church up. We got invited to join. We were just graduated college, and we got invited to join them right after they started. So there was still, it was about 40 people going to the church, and 20 of them were college students. And in a year, quickly, it was 300. Because they decided God was a miracle-working God. And there was enough room for 300 people in here, so why aren't there 300 people in here? And they did it. They got out there and they did it. You know how they did it? They went and met people. They went and talked to people. They went to where people weren't going, and they met rowdy kids. And they said, you know what? There's a God that loves you. And they brought them in, and then they went after families. And people started seeing stuff, and people started coming in. It was amazing. You know one thing this church has always had, and it blows me away, but I can sit here and look through the transition. One thing this church has always had, this church has always loved people. Ask a visitor, what do you feel about here? It's very welcoming. It's very welcoming. I don't know, I get more hugs in an hour and a half here than I do in a month outside of here. Not like I'm going around hugging everyone I meet, but I mean, you get my point. It's a very friendly conversation. That's just weird. That might have been why some of them quit. I don't know. See, they decided that they personally each one personally was going to be the catalyst for change. And it started in the youth department, and it spread to the rest of the church, and everyone caught it, and then God blessed. God was at work. See, God still has a plan for this body. I 100% believe that. But see, as those kids graduated, they moved on. And nobody from the church stepped up. We were all like, oh man, this is great. And then they left and we're like, all right, well, I guess I'll just sit here and listen to the sermon. And the church went, died off fast. And we couldn't think why. Well, the reason is because we were comfortable sitting there and watching them do everything. And when it came time for them to leave, no one stepped up. No one stepped up. When they left, they left. And the church over 4 years diminished. Do you know there's a point here in this body where we just, I don't know, it's July, I think, mid-July. And we decided we were going to, if we made it to Christmas, like I said, there was 15 of us, 15 to 20 of us. If we made it to Christmas, that was going to be our last service. We were going to shut the doors, turn over the property probably to another church or to BBC. That was it. We'd written it off, right? So I'm downstairs one time with the pastor that was here. And this guy walks in, I think it was August, walked in with, and they're looking at the building, and I'm like, oh, crap, we're already going to get rid of the building. And he's like, no, he pulls me aside, he's like, they're looking at the building, they got a church, and they want to merge. What? See, we've been praying, here, it's miracles, right? Miracles. We had been praying for whatever years, now we hadn't put any actions to our, we were just throwing prayers out there. Remember I asked you, do you believe in miracles or do you have that nagging feeling it ain't going to work? We've been praying, God, send a family. God, send us one family so that we know that we're still supposed to be doing this. One family. So it's like the third week of August. We walked in. And there were 300 people here, 250, 200, something like that. It was an incredible amount of people. We're in this room. How big is a miracle of a church going from 20 to 200? I'm going to go with the low number, 200, in one service. And it wasn't something that was just going to be for a week. We were merging. You know, it was 100. When we voted, how many of you were here when that? Raise your hand if you were here for that. We got a few of us still. And I'm going to talk about that too. But 100% vote that our churches were going to merge, right? 100%, wasn't it? Not one person said, no, we shouldn't do this. So we went, that's a miracle. You can get 200 Baptists to agree on something? That's a miracle. But you know what? They all voted for it. We've been praying for one family. Oh, God, give us a scrap. We hadn't been praying for, God, we need a miracle, and I want you to fill this church, please. God, I'll do whatever it takes. No, God, send us a family, or we're going to close. We prayed, but we made our plans to scrap it. In our mind, it was done. Do we do that? Go back to the beginning. Do I personally believe in miracles? And then this is where it hit me, because I'm one of those ones that was talking about the doors closing. And then God brought this breath of life into this church. 4 years of praying, but no action. See, God knew the need. He knew we needed more, but one family wasn't going to do nothing but maybe make us feel good for the next couple months. Because we weren't doing anything. No, two totally different things. See, God's family incorporates everyone that belongs to Him. See, we needed a miracle, and his family's huge. He's like, sure. I'm going to blow your mind. Watch this. And then everyone showed up, and it was like, whoa. That was awesome. We watched that. See, he wasn't done with the good work that he had called this congregation to do 203 years ago. We almost ended that. Almost put a nail in the coffin of something that had been here at that point for 200 years almost. Because the faith was lacking. We needed a miracle. Philippians 1:6 says this, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. See, we tried to bring it to completion earlier, and he said, I am not done. You have a good work to complete in this town, and it won't end until I come back. Can we claim that for this church? I don't know why not. If he wrote it and gave it to us and said, learn from this, follow this, let this be your guide, let this be your map, and get out of your own head. Get out of your head. See, God wasn't done. God knew we needed way more than a family. We needed a miracle. And 2 to 3 months from these doors closing forever, literally 150 people extra walked through those doors. 150. Think about that. How many churches are in this town? Hundreds. I'll help you. I don't even know. Hundreds. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. But they chose a church out in the middle of here. It's not a big church. It's not a bright and flashy, shiny church. We got a great auditorium. I love our auditorium. But we got problems. They could have chosen any other congregation in this town to go hook up with, right? But they chose the one way out here that God did not want closed yet. 150 people joined this church in one weekend in a city of hundreds and hundreds of churches that they could have gone to that would have been a whole lot more appealing. That's a miracle. It's a miracle they even knew we were out here. Because we'd quit telling people. So, and I'm not going to lie to you, see, we were talking about this in our class today. Nostalgia makes us see things with rosy glasses. See, the 80s were horrible for me. I was blown up in addiction. It was just horrible. But you know, when I look back on the 80s, I'm like, man, that was pretty cool. I had a good time. And I'm like, oh no, wait, what about that? But see, nostalgia makes us think everything. So when we look good, when we look back at ourselves, Jesus says, take an honest look at yourself. And within a year, within 6 months, within 3 months, man, we got hit, wham, right in the face with an issue, not from Pastor David, but a leadership issue. Do you know how hard leadership issues are to overcome in a church, especially a new church? Especially a church that's just combined with another church, and so you got people doing this. Well, they did this. Well, they did that. Well, it's a leadership issue. And the issue was taken care of in the most godly way I could think of, that I could imagine it going. And yet, we lost a lot of people that had been going here for 20 years. See, that's why April and I are the only ones still here. And Jordan, you're part of the family. That's why they left. And you weren't here 24 years ago, so I won't hear it. We got hit. We're like, what are we going to do now? Now what do? People are leaving. So we lost like 50 people in a year, right? 50 people, that's a lot of people. And then so we start recovering from that. Everything's going good again. We're catching our traction. You know, we're doing things. Wham, another leadership issue. Now what? So then within a year, we were probably half of that. Because people get inside their head and they get away from what God has called. And 100% of those people that a year and a half before had voted, yes, this is what God wants for this congregation. I 100% stand by it. I'm 100% for it. until I get my feelings hurt. He left. And most of those people that were here at that time don't really... I mean, there are some that talk to us. I won't lie. There are some that talk to us. But most of them don't. I agree. That'll rip your heart out when you're the pastor of a church and you see what it's doing to your people. But you can't change that, right? You can't stop that. Look at what happened in the wilderness with the Israelites. Man. There was a lot of stuff going on before they got there. So where do we go from here? See, I love this. I believe that this is a miracle church led by a miracle-believing pastor serving a miracle-working God. And you won't ever convince me that it's not. I don't care. You won't convince me it's not. Name me another church that had two people leave and then come back as pastors again. You can't see, if you really love this church, you can't get away from this church. Mike and I tried. But right there. So where do we go? See, we have ideas. You know, we've talked about moving closer into town, right? But it's 100% up to God. See, when we start thinking something, the same way we did way back then, when we start getting an idea in our head, that this is the way, we start shutting off what God wants us to do. If God opens the doors and everything falls in place and the opportunity of and the pastoral staff and all the congregation agrees and we've all prayed for it and we say, okay. But you know what? Here, I'm going to tell you something. So far it ain't happened. We've talked about it because, yes, we do make plans. We do throw ideas out there. But you know what? If we're still here in 10 years, this is our home. This home was planted 203 years ago, and if God ain't done with it yet, we better not move it. Now, if God says move it, you better move it. We need to be at work. You know the grow where you're planted at? That's not in the Bible. Now, it's a biblical idea. But grow where you're planted, you won't find that statement. But it is a biblical idea. If God places you in a place, that's where you are to grow and flourish. And that's where we're at. We think, oh, it's so hard out here. You know what? How hard was it for all these settler families to get here? They rode miles and miles and miles on a buggy to get here. And then miles and miles and miles on the way back home. Go to Brazil where April grew up and people would walk 3-4 hours to get to church. In Africa, they still do it with some of our missionaries. They walk for 4 hours and then they have church for like 6 hours. Because I ain't walking 8 hours round trip if I ain't doing something big. Okay, I ain't walking 8 hours round trip. There you go. But we use that as a crutch. And yet this church grew and was born and continued to flourish when we didn't even have cars. Think about that. We have ideas, but it's up to God. See, next week, Pastor Mike's going to stand up here and he's going to give you a vision. Do you know that people perish without a vision? Now that's biblical. People perish without a vision. And so Mike's going to come up here and he's going to lay out our missions, our vision statement. And so I don't want to intrude too much on that. I don't want to intrude too much on that, but I can tell you this. That we are going to continue to listen and continue to follow God. And right now, God has us here to minister. So this is where we're going to minister and this is where we're going to grow. Both of the pastors would agree. This is where we are going to grow, is here. Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21 says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us." See, there's that individual component. His power in work, at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Throughout all... Let me ask you this. If you could go back in time and ask those people 203 years ago where this congregation would be entering 2020, they'd have probably thought you were nuts. Well, there's five settler families here, so probably nowhere. We'll probably still be meeting. That's what they saw. They didn't see, they could not have seen where how this grew. But you know what? It would look nothing like it does today. They wouldn't have seen that big, winding, thorn-filled pathway that this church has walked on to get to this part. They couldn't have imagined some of the things that this congregation seated right here has been through in the last 8 years. They couldn't have foreseen that. But guess what? This is exactly what it looks like today. This is it. 203 years, we're still here. I tried a church plant 9 months later. I was back here. Well, a year and 9 months. But after 9 months, that failed. And I had to ask why. Savannah, will you come up? See, we have to understand this. The church is a two-way covenant between the believers that call this place the Crossing Church home and God, who is head over the church. It's a covenant. What's a covenant? Covenant is a two-sided agreement. I will do this and you will do this and therefore this. See, God has already fulfilled His covenant. His covenant is fulfilled. He fulfilled it through the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus. He was faithful. He promised, I will give you a way. And He did. Our part of the covenant is to be faithful in completing what He's called us to do. Anything short of that, and we are covenant breakers. Anything short of that. And when I looked at that, it hit me right in the face. I don't ever want to be a covenant breaker with God. But it's an individual choice. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. I wish we'd have got that a few years back when we were only 15 or 20. Because what can 15 or 20 people do that are sold out for God? Well, I'll tell you what they did. 203 years ago, they built this congregation. 203 years later, it's still standing here. So what can, if 15 or 20 can do that, what can 100 people do? If each one of us individually decides, this is where we are going to grow. So I'm going to ask you to stand up real quick. And I'm going to ask you two simple questions. And I'm going to tell you something. These two questions, how you answer them, not how Pastor, myself, Pastor Mike, not how our Awana leaders or our Sunday school teachers or... It doesn't matter. This is how you answer it. How we answer it, we can the three pastoral staff here can answer it positively. And if you don't answer it positively, then we won't do anything. These questions will determine the effectiveness of this church as we move into 2020. So, first, do you believe, I mean you believe, that God is a miracle worker in His church today? Do you solidly believe that? And be careful how you answer that. Because I'm not just asking you, do you think He could do it if He decides to, and really, He might not, so. Or do you solidly believe that in 2020, this church can grow? And I'm not just talking numerically. I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking in a footprint in our community. Can we grow? So how you answer that? If you answer that one positively, then number two, are you willing to personally become a hands-on, steadfast, a movable worker for God in this local body? Are you going to take 1 Corinthians 15:58 and watch this church abound in the work of God that He does through His people? Or are we just going to sit back? See, if you answered yes to these questions, I'm going to ask you to get uncomfortable. I'm going to ask you to get uncomfortable. Because if you can't get uncomfortable for God in here with people that love you, you won't get uncomfortable out there with people you don't know. If you're able, and I'm talking to the people of this church, to step out of your comfort zone, and as I pray, I want you to come forward. And I want you to pray for this coming year. I want you to pray that we would continue to be a miracle-receiving church. We don't cause the miracles, God does. And we would be a miracle-expecting, a miracle-receiving church, and that through us, we would see God at work. Because that's what it's all about. Without Him, we can do nothing. But if we don't make the decision, this church won't impact this area. So I'm going to pray, and you work it out with God.